From JMI Wealth, let's get into it for a new week. Andrew Kelleher, good morning.
Yep, morning, Mike.
So a little bit of good news, because the business confidence is in the dunny, but the consumer confidence appears to be holding up, doesn't it?
That's right. We like these technical terms, don't we? It's in the dunny. Yeah. Actually, I heard it referred to as the Kazi yesterday on television. I haven't heard that term forever. Okay. Mike, we want to talk about consumer confidence. Now, this is part of what we call high-frequency data. So this is monthly data. So we get to see trends, but you do have to be aware of a bit of month-to-month volatility. So, and we've seen a bit of that in the last couple of reads. But if you sort of take the lens back, if you take a longer-term view or a higher-level view, Mike, what we're seeing is highlighting the sort of dichotomy between weak business confidence, actually very weak confidence, as you say, flying in the face of this consumer confidence that's holding up pretty well. And it's really an employment story, because employment is strong. Now, in the last month's data, we saw a bit of a fall-off in consumer confidence, and that got commentators a little bit worried, you know, a little bit rattled. But the release of the latest data, this is the ANZ Roy Morgan New Zealand consumer confidence data on Friday, we got a bit of stability. So consumer confidence lifted a couple of points in August to 118. That's slightly below the historical average. Current conditions rose a point, future conditions up a couple. Consumers' perception of their own activity, their own sort of place, rose 4 points. 16% feeling better off financially than they were a year ago, and 39% of people think it's a good time to buy a major household item. So basically consumers feeling relatively robust at the moment. But the issue, Mike, the issue is this recent weakness that we've seen in the employment indicators. So it looks like employment market might soften, and that's probably what's been holding that up. Now, if you combine the consumer confidence with the business confidence, you get this confidence composite gauge. That gives us a read on GDP growth. It's definitely slowed. But, you know, the commentators here think it may be finding a floor. So maybe just, you know, be weak, but it won't go any lower. That's what that's suggesting anyway.
Okay. Speaking of finding a floor, they've found one in Sydney, found one in Melbourne. So the housing market's back in a big way, as far as I can tell, isn't it?
Yeah, so look, I'm asking the question here, not that I'm fixated on the Australian property market, but I'm asking the question, super low interest rates, you know, the OCR now at 1%, get set to get lower, talk of negative interest rates. Personally, I don't think we'll get negative interest rates, but I'm a bit of an optimist. But anyway, you start to ask the question, will these lower interest rates kickstart or reignite the housing market? And if we look across the Tasman, you may recall we've talked about the last 18 months of weakness in these key Australian markets. Well, that appears to be turning around, and we know they've got low interest rates over there as well, and they're suggesting that's one of the factors in this property rebound. So we're seeing auction clearance rates improve in Sydney, or massively actually in Sydney and Melbourne. But the jury's out as to sort of the strength and magnitude of any bounce. I mean, they've definitely got the pace of the capital gains over there is accelerating. So Sydney auction clearance rates, they're over 80%. Last year, they're in the 50% range. Melbourne, high 70s. Some suburbs are seeing sort of double-digit property increases. If you look over the last 12 months, 100% clearance rates. So the question is, will that pan out here? And I was listening to one main bank economist last week, and he's picking a bit of a lift in the property market. We've got some figures from One Roof, and they got a data partner, Velocity. So we're seeing some areas in New Zealand are still rising pretty rapidly. Hastings, Whanganui, they're getting close to 30% gains there. But the big markets, places like Auckland City, still pretty weak. And Auckland City itself down 3%. Same for the North Shore too. But, you know, you've got pockets of real weakness over the last 12 months, some suburbs down sort of 12, 13%. So, look, we have got a very overheated housing market, Mike, but the thing is, New Zealand's being what they are. Throw some cheap money at it, yep. You never know, might just kickstart the market.
Dead right numbers, please.
26,403 on Friday night on the Dow, up 41 points or 0.16%. S&P 500 was 2,926, just up small, and the Nasdaq 7,962, which was down small. Yeah, the FTSE 100, big week in the UK this week, so lots of attention there, but the share market's holding up okay. 7,207 up 23, 0.32%. The Nikkei up 243 points, over 1%, 20,704, and Shanghai Composite down small, 2886. All good in Australasia. The ASX 200, 6604, up 97, 1.49%, and stormed into the weekend on the New Zealand market, up 177 points, 1.67% gain, closing at 10,757. The recent high was 10,898, Mike, so we're not far off that. On the currencies this morning, 0.6308 against the US, 0.9362 Aussie, 0.5737 pounds, 0.5184 0.5737 euro, 0.5184 pounds, 66.85 yen, gold $1,520.38, Brent crude $59.25.
Nice start to the week. Well done. Appreciate it. Andrew Kelleher and the team at jmiwealth.co.nz.